I believe that there will be that whatever Mishnayis wasn't taken for the Nifter, Eli Jaffa's grandfather, they'll be bringing over here to the yeshiva, that the Bachrim will hopefully be able to take some Mishnayis. Anyone that was by the Levaya clearly heard about the magnitude of the person that left this world. And understand that it's not just saying Mishnayis for a friend of ours, grandfather, which means a lot to him, but also for a very special neshama. Those of you that didn't hear, so you know, I had this hargosha when I was there that to me, I mamish felt like I was sitting through a musar shmuz, listening to the different maspidim and the way they were speaking about how a person can live his life with so much clarity. I think that. If a person would like to hear a good shmuz, so then you could get a hold of the hespedim. I think that they were very powerful. Anyway, we are here. We are here in the Sefer Chovos Talmidim. We're in the beginning in the Akdoma Siach Im Amalamdim Ve'Avesu Banim, and we're up to on page Chof Aleph. We were speaking about that the Rebbe says something so deep and so insightful. And he says about how every time the Torah always writes about chukim and mishpatim, he always writes chukim before mishpatim. Chukim before mishpatim. Chukim are things that have no tam. And mishpatim are mitzvahs that have a tam. Now, when we speak about the time of the mitzvah, it usually means the reason for the mitzvah. And that's usually something that we would say is intellectual. But the Rebbe says that's not necessarily the only thing. Tam also means a taste. And if you have a tam for a mitzvah, you have a gefil for a mitzvah, you have a geschmack in a mitzvah, you enjoy a mitzvah, it's also called a tam. Well, is that any less of a tam? If a child likes to give a hug to his parents, does that mean that, and he doesn't know why, child is not intelligent enough to be able to express to you why, does that mean that it's not something that he feels is clear by him? Of course it's clear. It's maybe even clearer. You give me reasons, I could schlug up your reasons. You can't schlug up a feeling. So that's the most genuine tam, is a person has a taste for something. So chukim come before mishpatim. Chukim is when it doesn't have a tam. It's flavorless. It you don't understand it. It doesn't talk to you. You're not feeling it. And you're supposed to do it anyway. And that's the basis, the foundation. That's the beginning of mitzvahs. Some people say, I'll do all the mitzvahs I like, and then whoever leftovers, I'll try to like maybe do one or two. He says, mitzvahs start as chukim. And slowly you graduate into them becoming mishpatim. Person's got to fake it until he bakes it, until he becomes it. He's got to start off with something which this is not something I'm enjoying. I don't enjoy it. You know what? Slowly, slowly, you do it more and more, and then it starts coming out, and you start connecting with it, and you start. It's an acquired taste that a person has to be committed to. And there's a commitment to it that takes, that start with chukim and then go to mishpatim. That is the way it's supposed to be. That's the way the Torah writes about it. Avol ma nase. This is what we're up to. Page Chaf Aleph in the paragraph on the bottom. Avol ma nase. However, what should we do? And what the Rebbe is describing here is a huge shift. I like to say the word paradigm shift because I like the word, but I'm not sure what it means. But I'll say it anyway. There's a paradigm shift that's going on in the world. In other words, the Torah is writing you the way it's supposed to be, and something happened in the culture that's going to make us react totally differently. Avol ma nase im doireinu, what should we do with our generation? She'atzmusoi v'hargeshoisov miskadmois lehisgadel ulehislakeid. What should we do? That in this generation, these children, their identities and their emotions, they're coming out so early, and they're expressing themselves prematurely. If we don't grab a hold, if we don't worry about getting a hold of his excitement, and make sure to channel it towards kedusha at a young age. Tisragesh v'tispael v'islavas shel shtus v'yoyfi ha'meguna shel oilom. Then what's going to happen? He is going to start identifying, connecting, and and getting emotionally attached to all the excitement of the shtus and the yoifi hameguna, and there's this beauty, the world out there. It's called good gashmius, right? And you look at that and you're like, wow, this is so exciting. And it's got shiny lights, neon lights, and it's flashing, and it's calling you, and that's the yoifi hameguna shel ha'olam. And he'll be amazed by their ways. And he'll desire, he'll want all of their disgusting, their vices. So this is a problem. The problem is that children are starting at such a young age to start already committing to certain things. Now, I don't know if you boys know this, but sometimes I get involved in kids like that are, you know, struggling. I don't like to call them kids at risk. Call them struggling. And I found like a new phenomenon that was like, just blew my mind. 12-year-old kids that want to drop out of school. I'm like, what are you going to do? What does it mean drop out of school? It's like, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm done. I'm like, what do you mean you're done? What does that mean? What are you going to do the rest of your life? You're 12 years old. He's like, I don't know. I'm finished with school. I'm going to hang out on the street. I'm like, I'm shocked that a kid can even like have that, like, how could you even say that to yourself? I don't know if you know this, but the Kiruv world is in major crisis. Eisha Torah, Or Sameach, all these different types of programs. Or Sameach in America, I'm pretty sure, is basically closed. Eisha Torah over here is a bunch of yeshiva students that, you know, trying to find themselves, so they end up in a Baal Tshuva yeshiva. Or Sameach is basically focusing on South Africans and Europeans, because Americans they basically gave up on. The Kiruv movement is not dead, but it's in serious crisis. As a matter of fact, one of the big funders of the Kiruv movement is, you know, there's so much money being channeled into campus Kiruv. It's a relatively new thing. Relatively, I mean, it's like 20 years old. And they're like, it's not working. We've been putting so much money into campus Kiruv. It's not working. Why are we investing millions and millions of dollars? Why is it not working? I'll tell you why I think it's not working anymore. Because kids aren't waiting until 21 or to like make decisions about, you know, what their lifestyle is going to be. It's too late. You got to do Kiruv at kids when they're like 13 years old, 14 years old, because they checked out after that already. They're done. They're finished. I'm not like, I've already like established who I am, my identity, already at a young age. And that's very challenging. So we've got to catch them early. So he's saying this is a problem, because usually we'll say, listen, start off, Torah is bland. Torah is boring. Torah is just something that you have to do, and eventually you'll enjoy it. It's just not going to work anymore. It's just not going to work. We got a problem with this generation, because they're too quick to already like establish their likes and the things that they have affinities for and what they feel that they associate with. So now what? Now what should we do? We have to come up with a contingency plan, with an alternative. We have to come up with a new way to deal with it. And that's what the Rebbe says. That's what's happening here. And he says, Linar ben doirenu sheisrag shusav ispalusav kvar nisbagru v'nisbaltu. It's already coming out. It's already being boiled. He's already forming his identity at a young age. Kosher kvar l'kasher b'chukim below har goshes. It's already difficult. I already have things that I enjoy. This I enjoy. This is what I identify with. This is what I like. You're giving me all this bland, boring, komets aleph, komets beis, buh. Get me out of here. It's boring. Imrak bis, af b'divrei seichel b'lvad, imloi imrak seichel yoveshu. It's very difficult if it's just going to be dry. Muchrochim, we are mechuyif. Lachtor el nafshoi, to dig down into his nefesh. Le'oirero, le'halivo, shetisrageish me'at min al kolpanim minoyam he'ora. That we have to light the fire on his neshama. And it has to get the feeling, even just a little bit, from the sweetness, ha'ora de ha'ora min zoyara ilah, tishtoikik v'tiskashir. Even at a young age, we've got to get them to enjoy it. It's got to start already now, something that they get excited about. It's got to be exciting in order for them to stick through. Lochein, imroitzim lekasher es hayeled ulechanchoy. If you want to be mekasher a yelid, you want to connect with a child, you want him to even to be mechanachim, that even when he gets older, he's not going to leave the derech. Not only because he's being instructed and being forced to do it, his own nefesh is pushing him, compelling him to do these things because he feels like he's connected with the mitzvahs. As aser lanu lehamtin, we can't wait till we're older. We can't say, I'm going to do it when I'm older. Now I'm going to just have a good time. And later when I'm older, I'll settle down. Because once you create an emotional connection with shtusim, with divrei hevel, so then you have a hard time pulling away from it. Rak tzrichim lechanchoy bedarki hachasidus ha'amitus oid mikatnusoy. Rabbi Yisai, this is the yesod of chasidus. This, I believe, is the yesod of chasidus. What were the chasidim? What was the movement? The movement was the recognition that we know what we're doing is a little bit off. And now you could maybe appreciate a little bit better the massive machloikas that happened between the misnagdim and the chasidim. The chasidim knew what they're doing was a little bit off. But they realized, if we don't do this, we're going to lose people. In droves, in masses. We have to make freilich. Stop saying freilich. That's the geschmack. Let's dance, let's sing. And the Litvaks like, what do you mean? Toira, no, sit, learn Toira. You're not enjoyable? It'll be enjoyable eventually. And the chassidim like, well, hold on, it's not going to work anymore. It's just not working anymore. Innovation. The Litvaks like, what are you doing? You're making stuff up? And there was this. But in truth, the Hasidim were just saying, look, I know that the right way to go is pure learning, and that's what the Pia Setzner writes clearly in the Sefer. That Avada, if a person learns Yom Valayla, shouldn't stop and be mafsik for a second, and that's not what the Hasidim want. But let's be practical. And the Hasidim were practical. And they said, let's make sure we don't lose people. So we have to find a derech. And what is that? We have to create that even at a young age, that we have to be mechanachim bedarkei hachasidus ha'amitos oid mikatnusay. Chanoich lenar opi darkei. And he continues, v'haderech shetzorach hanoyer shel doireinu hi derech hachasidus ha'amitos ha'levovis v'anachshis, which is getting into their heart, talking to their heart, talking to their neshama, not talking to their brain. It's not just Gemara all day. Why? Really, Gemara all day is right. In theory. But in practice, it's just not going to work. So we have to talk to their hearts. We have to sing with them. We have to dance with them. We have to get them excited. Now the Rebbe says something that's very important. And he says this many times. We've spoken about it a little bit. Even if it's not real. It's not real. You ask a little kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? A Talmud Chacham. You don't know what he's talking about. He just knows that that's what you tell him that he's supposed to be. And he gets excited. And you know, so he wants to be a Talmud Chacham. What does it mean you want to be a Talmud Chacham? You know, what is it you're excited about a Talmud Chacham? Because there's so many people that are crowding around him because there's pictures of him in the paper. It's not the hislavus hachasidus ha'amitis, but that's okay. That's okay. We have to get him excited. And whoever he gets excited about it, let him get excited. And you know, there's sometimes this hack about hats, and someone has, you know, what type of knetch he has in his hat. How his hat is it a shorter brim? Is it a longer brim? Does it have this type of band? Does it have that type of band? And it's like, I mean, come on. It's like, and that's like what everyone's like hawking about, and you saw the new band or the new porcelino. It's like, but you know something? They're getting excited about something that they use for davening. and a person gets excited about a new sitter. And he gets, or he's got leather binding on his Chovas Talmidim. It's like, wow, it's like, hello, that's just the outside. It's not, what's the difference? It's Yoifi. But it's getting exciting about a Sefer. You get excited about a Nigin. You get excited about a Dvar Torah. Even if it's not 100% authentic, says the Rebbe, it's good. Because you're channeling your enthusiasm in the right direction. And we'll speak later about getting excited about the Seder night. I remember fondly my Zeda's Seder. I don't think it was the Divrei Torah. I don't even know what it was. But I remember as a kid. I remember as a little kid, like all the adults sitting around the table and everyone talking and the Afikoman, of course. Afikoman's the big hack, right? And you maybe get some chocolate over here and there. But was it about the Divrei Torah? Was it about the Mitzvah Sipur? No, it wasn't. And that's okay. Because you know what my fond memories are? It's not about going to a Yankee game. Or it's not about going to a concert. It's about going to a Seder. And if we can create strong memories, fond memories, strong feelings towards Yiddishkeit, so then they're connecting. And then the Seder can become real, eventually. It will become real for you. For other people, yeah, by the Seder, they're going to be hawking about, do you remember the Yankee game? That's what their Seder is going to become. Because that's what they're connected with. So we have to try to create strong connections with Torah. Listen to this beautiful Dvar Torah. It's a teeny bit elaborate. It's absolutely beautiful. It's from the Ostrov Tzegoin. There's a rabbi. He's called the Ostrov Tzegoin, and the Eibishter sent him to me. His Torah is brilliant. He's called the Goin because he was also called the Ostrov Tzadik. He fasted for 40 years straight, every day, 40 years, including Shabbos. He passed away in 1928. He was a very, very Heilige Jew. He had mamish. He couldn't even walk. He had no body heat. He had no body because there was like nothing on him. They said that you could even when he ate something, you could even like see it go down. There was nothing. He was pure flesh and bone. He used to walk with blankets on him. He barely ever went out of his house. But it was a big, big tzaddik and a big goyim. Every morning he woke up. He said Hatovas Chaloyim, which means that he had bad dreams at night, every single morning. Passed away in 1928. And he said that the end of Yiddishkeit in Europe is coming. He said this. Anyway, listen to this Dvar Torah. Dvar Torah is nival. It's unbelievable. He's trying to explain what happens with Yosef and Yaakov. You have to understand, Yaakov was at the end of his life, and he was already seeing, because Yaakov Legalis is a case. Yaakov is already seeing the future generations. He's half in this world, half in the next world already. Yaakov Avinu was already like, and he's half here or not here, and he's giving brachas. Yosef HaTzadik brings his two sons, Ephraim and Menashe, and Yaakov goes like this, right? Now understand, there's a man who's just moments before his death. Why does he have to extend this, cross his hands like this, extend? Tell Yosef, could you move the boys? He's crossing his hands. And these things are happening with Ruach HaKodesh. He's experiencing these Giluyim. And Yosef says to him, Tati, you got it wrong. Like, you know, I think, what was he thinking? What's the Shakta Vataria? He says the following pshat. He says that there's two sons. There's Menashe and Ephraim. What was Menashe and Ephraim? Menashe, Yosef named, for Hashem made me forget all of the difficulties, all the bad things, all the struggles and the troubles. He put an end to that. Ki nishani means Hashem allowed me to forget. Ephraim is ki Ephrani Elokim, which means Hashem helped me be successful and be fruitful. And he says that those two names are significant. For there's a concept called Sur Meira Vasei Toiv. Sur Meira Vasei Toiv is first you got to get rid of all the bad stuff. He's got to put an end to all of the bad things that are going on. And then afterwards he can expect to be successful. And that's the way it's supposed to go. That's what the Pasuk says. Sur Meira Vasei Toiv. That's why Yosef, when he named his children, first he named Menashe and then named Ephraim. But Yaakov is already seeing Lasid Lavai. Yaakov is seeing the generation that's before Mashiach. And he sees that there's a generation that's having tremendous struggles. Tremendous nesioinus. And he says, this generation is going to have to do things differently. And they have to put Ephraim before Menashe. I know which one's the Bechor. I don't tell you switch them. Don't switch them. I'm switching my hands. Because I realize that I'm doing it wrong. This bracha of Lasid Lavoi is to put Ephraim before Menashe. Because if Yidden don't have a geschmack in their Yiddishkeit, if we can't give them something to hold on to, they're not going to be able to withstand the temptation and tell them you got to let go of all of your vices. Only you have to find a geschmack first. And if you can't find a geschmack, it's going to be so hard to let go. You should let go. You need to let go. Because it's not even real. Says the Ashur Tzor. It's not clean. It's tinged with all of the tumah that's still there if you haven't let go of your vices. But a person needs a geschmack. Because we're not strong enough. There's a Yid. He's a Kaddish. His name is Uri Zohar. Uri Zohar was the most prominent and talented person in Israeli entertainment. In like every tchum. He was a screenwriter, he was an actor, he was a talk show host, he did everything. He was like the man. He was the man. And he was a secular Jew, right? He was in all these movies and everything. He lived, he had like a house on the beach in Tel Aviv. And he ended up somehow engaging a chassid in a conversation about Yiddishkeit. And of course he like laughed the guy off, but he couldn't get whatever the chassid said out of his head. You can read the book. There's a book called My Friends, We've Been Fooled by Uri Zohar. He couldn't get it out of his head. And he started a journey together with his wife, and he became a Baal Tshuva eventually. And he used all of his money to buy back all of the movies. He bought back the copyright on all the movies because he didn't want anyone to have them. He's today poor as can be. Doesn't want money from anyone. He had to sell his apartment to buy a small apartment. He bought a smaller apartment. He had just moved recently to a smaller apartment. And he's happy, learns Torah, teaches Torah. He's a happy person. He said, he's spoken a few times for a bachram from the yeshiva. He said, when I was grappling with making a major change in my lifestyle, I was struggling with it. I asked Hashem, give me the geschmack that I have on the beach in the Gemara. Give me that geschmack in the Gemara. Let me enjoy the Gemara the same way that I'm enjoying going out there on the street. Because this is where I want to be. It's just so hard to pull away. He says, I davened for it and Hashem gave it to me. He said, I'm happier now than I've ever been before. Is that the way a person's supposed to be? No, we're supposed to be able to do it even if it's hard, even if it's difficult. Chukim and then mishpatim. But sometimes we have weaknesses in our generation. So chach that, Rabbi Yisai. Daven to Bari Yoylam. Give me a geschmack. Give me a tam in my davening. Give me a tam in my learning. Make me enjoy it in a way that I don't have to look anywhere else. And I'll just be happy being here. Mikol mokum b'kzei amate noigeya u'miskasher hu u'kechol asher yigdol v'yavod. Even if this is not real chassidus, but he touched the bottom of chassidus, the kzei amate, the point at the bottom, he's touching, he's connecting. U'kechol asher yigdol, and the more he gets bigger and he grows, and the more his understanding is developed, yale v'yizke lios chassid amiti. It'll become real. Maybe when he starts as a kid, maybe some of this is hype. But you know something? Hype can develop into something genuine. Because at least you're getting exciting about the right thing. Kiloimar. Isa bepardes. Pardes is a sefer, it's a Kabbalah sefer written by Rav Moshe Cordovero, known as the Ramak. He's buried in Tzvas. Ech hagavonim umaros hagufnios pu'ulois bemorom. how it is that colors, gavanim is colors, umaris hagufnius, and visual seeing things, seeing different colors, basically. Poilus b'morim, the effect it has in Shemayim. This is very deep things. Shekisheba lifal b'chesed, if a person wants to be poil in chesed, wants to do something, he wants to unleash the koyach of chesed, yislabesh levanim, he should wear white. Maybe you've seen Kabbalistics wearing white. Kabbalists, according to Rabbi Stark, beware of people that wear all white. But this is the idea. The idea is, there's this concept of levanim. That's the idea, clearly, of who used to have big day lavan, the Beis HaMikdash, Kohen Gadol, chesed. He's trying to unlock chesed. Bigvura, person wants to bring out, to unleash, to unlock vura, bibigodim adumim, he should wear red. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that when the president was campaigning, so he was always wearing a red tie. I think they call it a power tie, because the color red is power, is strength, is gvura. And he wore that tie to show, I'm going to be a strong leader, I wear red. And I believe that they say that there's the matador is when they do the bullfights. So you know they have those red capes or whatever it is. So I believe they say that bulls are really colorblind. The whole thing red is just, it's all a show for the crowd. Because when the crowd sees red, then the crowd gets all worked up. It's not for the bull. But when we see red, that's when we start thinking of power and strength and fight and aggression. We see white, we start thinking of purity. And there's a concept called a black tie affair. In every culture in the world, black is formal. You will not find a culture that in that culture, pink is considered formal. It's like pink, where everyone wears pink suits, pink ties, everything is pink. There's no such culture. Why not? Because black, the colors are something that are intrinsic. It's not just something that, who decided black? I don't know, black. Black is formal. White is pure. Pink is something different. And he says over there, the Ramak. We'll finish with this. Kim yabi ta adam be'enof. If a person looks with his eyes, mirutzas hamayim harabim, and he looks at running water, at a rapid, and as the water runs, there's a lot of white. It's the white rapids. Yis'oira b'ylecha halavana. Inside of him, there's some sort of liquid, a lecha, a moisture, a white moisture that's going to be nis'oira inside of him. V'chein b'inyin hazeh. Kasher yishoyte tamayin b'sichloi. When a person sees something, understand what's going on inside of your mind when you're looking at images. It's nisayur on 10 different levels. If there's pictures that you see with your eyes, or you even just images that you think in your mind. Begufnim, yispal haruchni. It has an impact on his ruchnius. V'anefesh toyer l'ruach, v'ruach l'neshama, v'neshama mimetzias l'metzias, ad shetis ale el mokum yinikasa, goes all the way back to where your neshama is being yonik from. Just because you looked at something, an image, that's the impression that a person gets. V'tis oyer l'fi metzius tziyura ad kan l'shoinoi hakoydesh. So says the Ramak, if we're looking at tzaddikim, if we're looking at dvarim shebek kedusha, if we're looking at things that are being mo'ayur kedusha, so then it has a hishtalshalus, it has a ripple effect all the way back to our, What are we doing? We're just looking at things. But it makes that impression. If we're looking at things that we're not bringing us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're tearing our neshama away from the makar of chiyus. We're disconnecting from everything that's precious just by looking at it. So that's all part of the same idea. The idea is, it's something that seems to be so superficial, so external, so like, so distant from me. Like, what does it really make a difference what I'm looking at? What does it make a difference what color clothing I'm wearing? It does. It has an impression. And maybe it's external, but that external is touching on something that is so divine. And if you play on that, and you focus on that, and you work with that, you can develop it into something so meaningful. We will continue, Be'ez Hashem, hopefully.